Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Samach Talad. We left off on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Kalase de Rav Zvid, five lines from the end of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, the Nesham Shav and Aliyah. We thank Dr. Lander for the continued sponsorship of the Daf each and every day. Today, what we're going to discuss is the following. First of all, we're in the sugya of Moreda Moredes. If a husband doesn't fulfill his obligations, a woman does not fulfill her obligations. So first we're going to discuss if a Moredes gets to keep the blaos of her Nichsei Tzon Barzel. She brings clothing into the marriage, all that is assessed as part of the ksuba and what she's going to take out with her, but we dock her or we subtract from the pay of the ksuba. Do we even subtract from the blaos that she's not allowed to keep the blaos? And apparently this shaila came up in a rabbinic family, and we may have been biased in the way we paskin the shaila, either in favor of the rabbinic family or against the rabbinic family. So that's going to be the first discussion. Then the Gemara is going to ask a question on Shmuel. Shmuel says that we don't write an Igeres Mered on a Shomeres Yavam. That normally when a woman is Moredes or a man is Mored, we write an Igeres that explains that they were Mored or Moredes, and that's why we're costing them the Ksuba or parts of the Ksuba payment. So we do not write that against the Shomeres Yavam, says Shmuel. They weren't really married, so she's not so much of a Moredes to write an Igeres Mered. The Gemara is going to point out that there's a Braisa directly against Shmuel, and we're going to have three ways of answering that kasha on Shmuel from the Braisa. Then the Gemara is going to look at the two different discrepancies between the penalty for a Moreid and the penalty for a Moredes. And we're going to explain those two discrepancies, both in terms of the amount of money, as well as how many days of the week of being Moreid each party gets penalized for. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to start actually giving very specific quantities of how much a husband has to provide for his wife in terms of food, in terms of clothing, what exactly he has to provide, and that's going to lead the rest of the Gemara on Amud Beis into a very detailed calculation of exactly how much wheat a person needs to be able to get through a week, how many meals a person has, and how much wheat a person needs in order to be able to provide enough bread for those meals. And that's going to bring us to the end of the daf. So let's begin again. Samach Gimlam Beis, five lines from the bottom of the page. Kal Seid Rav Zid. So says the Gemara, Kal Seid Rav Zid Imrida. The daughter-in-law of Rav Zid was Moredes against Rav Zvid's daughter, Rav Zvid's son, rather. And she said, Ma'as Alai. She refused to stay married to him. So Vatvisa Chad Shira, she held on to one item of clothing that she brought in as part of her Nadunya. Yosef, Memrazuch of Rashi, Yosef of Gamda Gabayu. So Yasif Kamri. So the Bezin got together Mazutra and Rav Ashi and Rav Gamda, and they were judging whether she's allowed to do this, and they said, Murda hivsida blaosa kayamin, that if a woman is Moredes, she loses whatever is left of the clothing that she brought into the marriage, that whatever is, even though the clothing is worn, it still has value, she loses that as well. So Amalu Rav Gamda, so Rav Gamda said to Amemur Mazutra and Rav Ashi, Mishum drazid gavaraba machnafisulei. What, because Rav Zvid is an Adam Gadol, you're being machnif him, and you're saying that his daughter-in-law, who's married against his family, is going to lose out on the blaos? That's not so clear that that's true. You're only saying that because she decided to pick on the wrong family. She decided to start up with Rav Zvid. It's not true. It's not necessarily true. Vam Rav Kanami bayi Rav Avlo Pashid. It might be true, but it's a suffix that Rav raised, whether a woman is Moredes loses her blaos or not, and he was never able to be poshet that suffix. So how can you say with such certainty that she loses the blaos? Tosus points out that those begadim that she does not have a tefisa on, that she didn't, that she wasn't tofes, that she doesn't have in her possession, then they were correct. She would lose them. She would lose out because amotzi mechaver olav haraya. That if we're not sure what to do, whoever's hanging on to them now is the muchzuk, and they're the ones that get to keep them. The case must have been that she was tofes, that she actually grabbed it, she held on to it, she was muchzuk in it, and that's why the Rav Gamda said, "Why are you being mat to the din for the in favor of Rav Zvid? You shouldn't. it should be a motzi mechaver lo haraya. She should be allowed to keep it because we're not sure what to do. And Ikeda Amri, some say the Maisa actually went in the reverse, that Yasi Veka Amri, what they paskin was Marda lo evsi de blosa kayamin, that if she's moredis, she does not lose out on the clothing that she had brought in to the marriage. And Amrulu Rav Gamda, Rav Gamda said to Hameimar and Rav Zutra and Ravashi, Mishum de Rav Zid Gavar Rabahu of Chisule Ladina Ilavei, because Rav Zid is such a Gavar Rabbi, you think you could pick on him? You think you could go against him? And he's not going to say anything because he's such an anav. So you're taking advantage of his anivus. You're taking advantage of his meek nature in not making a stink about it when you pass it against his family. But didn't Rav Kahana say that Rava raised this as a shayla and he was never poshet this shayla? So how could you pass it against Rav Zvid necessarily? Tosfos raises the question. But wait a second. Since Rava was not sure and he left it as a suffix, the halacha should be hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, and we just said that the case was that she was tofes leblaos. So if she was tofes leblaos, it means she had them, so she should be allowed to keep them. Minadin, meaning we should say hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, and she should be allowed to keep them. So Tosfos says no. It must be that there were many, many items of clothing, some of which she was tofes, some of which she was not tofes. And because Rava was mesupik about it, we should have said whatever he's holding on to, he gets to keep. Whatever she's holding on to, she gets to keep. But whichever way you learn the story, that's not what they paskined. They either paskined entirely in favor of him or entirely in favor of her. See, either one is deserving of criticism because it should have been amotzi mechavero alav haraya. So hashu delit marhachi velo hachi. Now that we don't have it clear one way or the other whether she loses the blaos or not, it was a suffix that Rava had, and we were never poshet the suffix. Halacha actually is tafsa lomafkin mina, that if she's tofes, she grabs onto it, she is muchzuk in it, we cannot take it away from her. Lo tafsa lo yavinan la, but if she was not tofes, we do not give it to her. Umashin la tresi archishata agita, we wait 12 months before we give the get, because she might change her mind and not be moredes, but not longer than that. And as long as she's moredes before we give her the get, after the 12 months, she does not get mezonos throughout that period of 12 months. So that's issue number one in the daf. Does a moredes get the blaos? It's a suffix, and because of that, because it's a suffix, hamotzi mechaver lo haraya, but if tafas lo mafkinan. So that's the halacha. Now the Gemara discusses, and what about an igeres mered? The halacha is that we write a letter if a woman is moredes al baila, that everyone should know that the husband is entitled to pay less for her ksuba in order that the woman is not going to be able to come to Beis Din one day and say, lo meredeti, I never did that, I was never moredes, I deserve my entire ksuba. So there's got to be documentation that she was moredes. And the same for him. If he's mored, there has to be documentation, because she's going to say, I'm entitled to more, because we're supposed to add on to the amount of the ksuba, and he's going to say, what are you talking about? I was never mored. So we're going to have to we have to document all of it, and there's such a thing called the nigeres mered. So Shmuel teaches us a halacha about this nigeres mered. Amrav Tuvi Bar Kitz Amr Shmuel Kos v'nigeres mered al arusa ve'in kos v'nigeres mered al shomeres yavam. If you have an arusa that it came time for them to get married, meaning you have 12 months where she's given to prepare for the wedding. 12 months came and went, and she said, I refuse to do nisuin. I will not get married. So we write a nigeres mered for an arusa. We do not write an igeres mered for a shomeres yavam, yeah, even though she refuses to do yibum. So they ask the Gemara, is that true? Meisve, but we have a brisa that says, achas li arusa unesua afilu nida afilu chola afilu shomeres yavam, that we always are going to cost them their ksuba in one direction or the other, if he's married or if she's moredes. So apparently, see, even the shomeres yavam, we start subtracting money from the ksuba. So Akum Shmuel says we don't write any geres mered on the shomeres yavam if we see that a shomeres yavam that refuses to participate in the process does lose out on the money that she would normally be entitled to in the ksuba. So the Gemara ultimately is going to have three answers. First answer is lo kasha. Kan shetavahu, kan shetavahi. The brisa that says that a shomeres yavam can be considered a moredes is when the man is toveya her to do yibum, and she says she refuses, she doesn't want to do yibum. So then she has a din of a moredes, and we start subtracting from the ksuba. So we're going to write an igeres mered. But when Shmuel said that we don't write an igeres mered al shomeres yavam, meaning that she's not considered a moredes, that's in the case shetavahi. That's when she's saying that she wants to do she wants him to do yibum, and he's the one that's being married, and he's the one saying he refuses to do the Yibum. So in such a case, what Shmuel is saying is that the man is not considered to be a married for refusing to do Yibum. Tamar of Tachlifa Baravimi, Yomar Shmuel, Tava Hu Niskakin Lo, that if the Yavam is Toveya, that he wants to do Yibum, and she refuses, so we will write an Igeres merit on his behalf against her. But Tva, he, if she's the one saying that she wants to do Yibum, and he's saying he refuses to participate, then we're not going to write any geres mered on him to add to the ksuba. So wait a second. So we're saying when Shmuel says that we do not write any geres mered on Yavama, it doesn't mean any geres mered against Yavama. The case is kishatava he. The case is she wanted to do the Yibum. He's the one that refused. And Shmuel is saying that we don't write any geres mered on behalf of the Yavama, not against the Yavama. Well, hi, Kosei, but Then that would mean Shmuel said two halves of a statement. He said Kosu Nigeres merit al Arusa and Ein Kosu Nigeres merit al Shomeres Yavam. Some of the two cases parallel each other. That just like in the case of Shomeres Yavam, it was talking about writing an Igeres Meret on behalf of the Shomeres Yavam. So to the Arusa must have been a case where the man is refusing and we're writing an Igeres Meret on behalf of the woman against the man. But then Kosu Nigeres Meret al Arusa, le Arusa mi bayalei. Then the wording is off. We shouldn't, Shmuel should not have said that we write an Igeres Meret on an Arusa. He should have said we write an Igeres Meret on behalf of an Arusa. Le Arusa would have been the better terminology to use. The Rishonim point out, the Ritva points out, why are we going back to Arusa? The language is off by Shomeres Yavam also. Meaning, what we're saying right now is that when we say al, we don't mean against, we mean on behalf of. And the Gemara is saying, yeah, but then al isn't the right terminology to use. Li is the right terminology to use. But guess what? Shmuel used the term al both by the case of the Arusa and on the case of the Shomeres Yavam. So why are we going back to the case of Arusa to ask this kasha? We could have just as easily asked this kasha on the Shomeres Yavam case. Shmuel said, Ein kosu nigeres merit al Shomeres Yavam. And what he really meant is that we don't write any nigeres merit on behalf of a Shomeres Yavam. So we could have just as easily asked Li Shomeres Yavam. So the Ritva says, no, it must be that since the Shomeres Yavam case is the second of the two cases, very often we know that the second of the two statements will just, the language will just conform to the language we've been using in the first of the two statements. So that as long as there's some good explanation as to why we chose a particular language in the first statement, we could just say the second one doesn't bother us because we're just trying to, conformity. We're just trying to keep the language similar. We do that with Mishnayos a lot of times. So maybe even with statements of Amoraim, we could say like that. So that's how the Ritva understands. That's why we pick on the Arusa case. So, but the problem is the Gemara's answer is Halo Kasha Tani Le Arusa. Enochnami, change it. That it shouldn't say Al Arusa. It should say Le Arusa because we're really writing the Igeres Meret on behalf of the Arusa and not against the Arusa. So what you have to say, Rabbi Kreskos points out, is what you have to say is certainly the way the Ritva understands that it's Tani Le Shomeres Yavam also. That once we're changing the Girsa on the Arusa, on what Shmuel said about Arusa, we have to be changing the gears on what Shmuel said about Shomeres Yavam as well. Okay, but that's the answer that to the stira or to the kasha on Shmuel, that Shmuel had said that Ein Kosev Igeres Mered al Shomeres Yavam, and the Brisa said we are Kosev Igeres Mered al Shomeres Yavam. So answer number one is we're Kosev Igeres Mered against the Shomeres Yavam, but not on behalf of a Shomeres Yavam. It all depends if she's the one refusing to do Yibum or if he's the one refusing to do Yibum. But one thing Shmuel was clear about is that we contrast Shomeres Yavam with an Arusa. That when it comes to an Arusa, we do write a Nigeres Mered on behalf of an Arusa when the husband refused to do the Nisuin. Well, Maishal Shomeres Yavam Delo, why is it that we're not going to write a Nigeres Mered on behalf of the Yavama if the husband refuses? Because we could say to her, look, he's not listening when you want to do Yibum, but why is that a problem for you? You're not Mitzuvan Peruvu anyway. So even if you don't get to do Yibum, you're not actually losing out on a mitzvah. So he's not considered to be morate against you because you're not actually losing out on a mitzvah. The Rishonim all raised the question, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says that a husband is morate on his wife, that we're most of al ksubasa, and morate meant that he refuses to have tashmish with her, he refuses to peruvu, and that's considered morate. So just because she doesn't have a mitzvah peruvu, the Mishnah was clear that that's still considered to be morate. So the Rashba and the Ritva suggests that once a husband and a wife get married, once there's nisuin, so then there's a shibud for tashmish amita. But prior to there being a nisuin, when they're only in the shomeres yavam or erisin stage, there is no shibud, and therefore absent a shibud and absent a mitzvah, we can tell her that doesn't make him a morate. But arusa nami namely zilam of kadet. But why don't we have the same taina for the arusa? Why don't we tell her, look, we're not going to write any geras merit against him for refusing to do nisuin. You have no mitzvah peruvu anyway. We're willing to say that to the shomeres yavam. You have no mitzvah peruvu anyway, so we're not going to write any geras merit against him. Why don't we say the same thing to the arusa? Sa ela ba'a machmas taina. It must be that when Shmuel says that we're writing a geras merit for an arusa, is somewhere where the arusa has a taina of why she doesn't want to have nisuin with him. Da amra biina chutra liyada, why she does want nisuin with him, rather. Da amra biina chutra liyada amara lekvura. She says, I need to get married because I need to have children, because who else is going to take care of me in my old age? Who else is going to bury me when I die? So therefore, we're going to listen to her taina, and when the arus doesn't want to marry the arusa, he's considered to be morayed against the arusa. Sachanami shomeres yavam beba machmas taina. Yeah, but by that same token, we should say the same thing about a shomeres yavam, that she could say, I need to get married, I need to have yibum over here because I need to have children, and someone's got to take care of me in my old age. So why can't you say the same exact thing? So for that reason, the Gemara says we reject answer number one. Again, this all started by Shmuel saying that we write in Igeres Mered on an arusa, but not on a shomeres yavam, which Pashta sounded like against the Shomeres. We don't write in Nigeres Merit against the Shomeres Yavam. Yet the Brisa said we do write in Nigeres Merit against the Shomeres Yavam. So it's a stira. So the Gemara had answered, no, Shmuel didn't mean that we don't write in Nigeres Merit against the Shomeres Yavam. He meant we don't write in Nigeres Merit on behalf of a Shomeres Yavam. So now the Gemara is rejecting that answer. That's not going to work, because if that's the case, if the case is that we're talking about on behalf of, we'll have no way of explaining the discrepancy between an arusa and a shomeres yavam. So Ella, the Gemara has to move on to another answer. Edvedi shetavahu. In both cases, we're talking about that the husband is the one that's interested, both in the case of the Brisa and in Shmuel's statement. The husband, the man is the one who's interested in doing the Yibum. It's the woman who is refusing the Yibum. Aye, why then does Shmuel say we don't write any Geras Merit against her? And the Brisa says we do. V'lo kasha. Kan lachlots, the kan liyavim. Question is, what is he asking for? That in the Brisa, when we say that she is considered a moredes, all the guy wants is to do chalitza. She refuses that, and she says she wants yibum. So she's considered to be a moredes, and we write an igeres mered. Whereas Shmuel is saying that she's not a moredes, it's talking about where the guy is saying that he wants to do yibum, and she doesn't want yibum. She's only willing to do chalitza. So that does not make her a moredes, because she's willing to do chalitza. If the Yavam is interested in doing chalitza and she's not interested, she only wants yibum, niskakenlo, and we'll write an igeres merit against her for refusing the chalitza. But tava liyavim, if the Yavam wants to do yibum and she only wants to do chalitza, ain't niskakin lo. That's a reasonable thing for her to want. So we're not going to listen to his taina. So I mean, no one can force anybody else into yibum as long as you have the option for chalitza. So says more maishna liyabim delo. Why is it that when the man is being toveya that he wants yibum, we don't write any geras mered when she refuses it? We tell him, you don't have to be married to your sister-in-law, go marry someone else, meaning just because she refuses. So lachl tsunami. So when she's so why don't we say the same thing when he's asking for chalitza? Why can't we tell him, forget about the chalitza, you're allowed to marry more than one wife, go marry someone else, meaning just because you have a shomeres yavam that's attached to you doesn't stop you from being married to somebody else, so go marry someone else. This shouldn't cramp your lifestyle too much. Why is this such a problem for you? Ella, so it must be that the reason she's moredes is da amar kiven da gidi bi lo kayavli achriti, that the guy can say, well, she's still connected to me because she's still zakuk to me for yibum, so no one's going to want to marry me because I have baggage, meaning I have this quasi relationship with my sister-in-law that isn't resolved, that's not taken care of, so I can't just go easily marry another wife. Well, hachanami by shomeres yavam, that she doesn't want to do yibum, and we said that she's moredas. Why can't she say the same thing? Kiven dagidabi lo kayavli achriti, that as long as she's connected to me, I can't. No one's gonna marry me. So why is it that a shomeres yavam who refuses to do yibum is not considered a moredas, whereas a shomeres yavam that refused to do chalitza is considered a moredas? Tosfos raises the obvious answer that the Gemara for some reason didn't think of. Tosfos says, why didn't the Gemara just answer that the Yavama doesn't want to do Yibum, but she's interested in doing Chalitza? So what kind of taina is he going to have? He's going to have a taina, I'm stuck with her now, no one's going to want to marry. You're not stuck with her. Go do a chalitza. She's willing to take a chalitza. So go do a chalitza. So Tulsa says that the husband doesn't want to do the chalitza because he knows when he does the chalitza, he's going to have to pay the ksuba. And he's not interested in paying the ksuba. So that's part of his taina, is I can't do a chalitza because I can't afford to do the chalitza. I'm interested in doing the yibum, and if she's refusing to do the yibum, I can't just go marry somebody else either, because if she's refusing the yibum, I'm still stuck with her in some way or another. Still a little bit difficult to understand, but that's how Tosas explains. Okay, so the Gemara now says, so we've rejected the second possible answer of the Kasha on Shmuel. So now we move on to a third. So again, the second possible answer was that sometimes we write an Igeres Mered against the Shomeres Yavam, sometimes we don't. Question is, what he's asking for, if he's asking for Yibum or he's asking for Chalitza. So now the Gemara says a third answer. Eli Idi V'Idi Shetava Li Yavim. In both cases, it's talking about both Shmuel and the Braisa are talking about that the guy, the Yavam, wants to do Yibum, Velo Kasha, Kan Kemishna Mishona, Kan Kemishna Achrona. Her refusal to participate in the Yibum, is that worthy of an Igeres Mered, depends on shifting attitudes over time. That the Braisa that says that a Shomeres Yavam, we do write an Igeres Mered against if she refuses Yibum, that's assuming like the Mishnah Rishona, the initial Shita of the Tanaim, that Mitzvah's Yibum is the ideal, and it's Kodemes L'Mitzvah's Chalitza. So if she refuses to do Yibum, she's refusing to do what really should have been done, and that's considered a moredas. Whereas Shmuel says that a Shomeres Yavam who refuses to Yibum, we don't write any Geras Merit, that's Kemishna Achrona. That's like Kemishna Achrona that says that no, Chalitza is preferred, that we prefer Chalitza over Yibum, we don't go to Yibum. So what she's asking for is what's actually preferred. So you're not going to write any Geras Merit when she's saying, I'm going to do Chalitza, which is what you're supposed to do. Ditanan, because we have a Mishnah, Maseches Bechoros, Mitzvahs Yibum Kodemes and Mitzvahs Chalitza, that really, really, really make her adin. Mitzvahs Yibum is the ideal, and Chalitza is only second rate. The Pasuk says, Yavama Yavo Ale. So it says Vim lo yach bitzi ish lakacha, says Yivim to Chalitza, the whole parsha of Chalitza starts with, and if he refuses to do Yibum, then you have Chalitza. So the implication from the Torah is that mitzvah Yibum is kodemus mitzvah Chalitza. But Parishon l'shem iskavim l'shem mitzvah, that was initially when they would have kavan l'shem mitzvah when they would do Yibum. Achshu l'shem iskavim l'shem mitzvah, but now that they don't have kavan l'shem mitzvah, they're only marrying their sister-in-law because she's beautiful or whatever else. So Amru mitzvah Chalitza kodamus mitzvah Yibum, since it's not l'shem shemayim, l'hakim shem liachiv. So now we say that mitzvah chalitza is preferred over mitzvah Yibum. So if she refuses Yibum, but she says, I'm more than happy to do a chalitza, you can't call that woman a moredas. So good. So that's what we. That's that's the end of the second topic of today's daf. So again, the first topic of today's daf was the blaos, the worn out clothing. Does she get to keep it when she's moredes? And how did we paskin for Rav Zvid's family, dafka against Rav Zvid or dafka for Rav Zvid? Then the second topic of today's daf was that Shmuel seems to be against the Braisa as far as whether we write in the Geras Mered against the Shomeres Yavam. Three resolutions to save Shita Shmuel. Now we move on to the third topic of today's daf. So the Mishnah said, "An masayhu polches," that how much do we deduct from the amount of the ksuba when she is moredes, and we give numbers of exactly how much. So one of the currencies that we described was a trapik. So my trapikin. What are trapikin? How much money is that? So I'm Rav Sheshes Astira. It's a Sela Medina. V'kama Astira. And how much is that? Palga de Zuza. It's a half of a Zuz. Tani Nami Achi. Rabbi Yuda Omer. Shlosha Trapikin. Shein Teisha Ma'in. That Shlosha Trapikin is 9 Ma'in. Ma'a V'chatzi L'chol Yom. And the Cheshbin in making him pay an additional Shlosha Trapikin for each week that he's Moreid against her is that we make it a Ma'a and a half for each day that he's Moreid. So a Ma'a and a half over 6 days of the week is going to be 9 Ma'a over the course of the week. And that accounts to Shlosha Trapikin. So that's how we get to the number Shlosha Trapikin. A Sela Tzuri has 4 Zuzim in it. Every Zuz has 6 Ma'os. A Sela Medina is a half of a Tzuri Zuz. So a Sela Medina is 1/8 of a Sela Tzuri. Kesef Tzuri and Kesef Medina, the ratio, the difference between them is a Sela Tzuri Kesef Tzuri is always 8 times the value of Kesef Medina. So anyway, so it's 1.5 ma'a for each day that he continues to be moreid against his wife. So now the Gemara notices a couple of discrepancies over here between what we deduct from the ksuba when she's moredes versus what we add to the ksuba when he's moreid. So first discrepancy is Amalei B'chibar Yosef Shmuel Maishna Ihu Diavinan Lei De Shabbos. Why is it that when the woman is moredes, we make her we subtract from her ksuba 7 either dinarin or trapikin, depending on which shita, but 7 for each week, which implies it's 1 a day, and we take Shabbos into account, that we deduct from the ksuba corresponding to her being continuing to being moredes on Shabbos. And yet when we add to the amount of the ksuba, because the husband is being moreid against the wife, we only add 1.5 ma'a per day for 6 days of the week to get to 9 ma'a per week. Why not for 7 days of the week? Why isn't it 10.5 ma'a per week? How come that wasn't brought into the cheshbon? So says Gemara, "I de mifchas kapachas lo mechzikis char Shabbos." When we're deducting from the amount of the ksuba, so by deducting more, it doesn't look like anyone's making money on Shabbos. It doesn't smell of schar Shabbos. Whereas iudo sufi kamosva, but when he's being morid and we're making him pay more for each and every day that he's being morid, so it looks like schar Shabbos that she's earning money on Shabbos because he continues to be married against her on Shabbos. So in order not to give the impression of Schar Shabbos, we don't make so it's Mechzik is Schar Shabbos, we don't want to make him pay Keneged Yom HaShabbos, so he only pays Keneged the Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh and not Keneged Shabbos. That's one discrepancy between the husband and the wife, between him being married and she being Moredes. But there's another discrepancy, and that is just the amount of money that we said that if a husband is married against his wife, we add 3 dinar or 3 trapik for each week. A woman is moredes against her husband, we subtract 7 dinarim or 7 trapikin for each week. How come there's such a much greater penalty on her for being moredes than there is on him for being moreid? Well, who is it a bigger loss for? Look at the shuk shalzonos. Who's the one that's hiring who? Meaning, if someone refuses, one spouse refuses tashmish, who is it more aggravating for? It's much more aggravating for the husband when the wife refuses tashmish, when she's moredes, than it is for the wife when the husband refuses tashmish, because men have a more robust yetzer hara for these things. How do I know that? go look at the Shuk Shel Zonos. Who hires who? It's the men that are hiring the women. It's not the women that are hiring the men, because men have a stronger Yetzer for these things. Davar Acher, or another way of saying it, is Zeh Yitzro Mibachutz. The man's Yetzer Hara is more evident outside of his body, because when a man is aroused, it's more evident. Vizu Yitzro Mibifnim. Whereas for her, just biologically, her Yetzer is inside of her body, so it's not such a gnai to her when she has that sense of arousal. So that's why there's more of a penalty when a woman is moredes against a man than when a man is married against a woman, assuming that it's all talking about Tashma Shamita, which some of the Achronim explained, that even though we had a discussion, what it means, is it about Tashma Shamita, or is it about Malacha? This conversation seems to be assuming it's about Tashma Shamita. Okay, now the Mishnah starts to just quantify everything. We know that a husband has to support his wife. What does that mean? How much does he have to... So if he's living in the house, he pays the grocery bills. But let's say he leaves town. He's going to make some money and he goes to Medina Siam. He's going to be gone for 6 months. So he appoints someone to provide for his wife. So what exactly should they be taken out of his account every week to provide for his wife? So someone who appoints an apotropos to take care of providing for his wife, lo yufchosla, he has to make sure that each and every week she gets mishnei kavin chitin, at least two kavav chitin, omer ba kavin sa'orin, or four kavav sa'orin, amr Rabbi Yossi lo pasuk la sa'orin el Rabbi Shmuel shayu samach la edom. That sa'orim isn't really a thing. That only if you live in certain parts of the world would you even think of providing barley. Barley is generally animal food. You wouldn't, if you live near Edom where they would eat sa'orim, so then you would think that that's something to provide. But otherwise, you just stick with wheat. But she doesn't only eat bread, you gotta have other foods as well. So you give a chatzi kav of beans, the chatzi log shemen, a half of a log of oil, the kav grogaros, and a kav of dried out figs, omana devela, or 100 dinar of pressed figs, vim emo posik lumas and peros makamacher. And if you don't have dried or pressed figs, so provide other peros that you can get in their place. Maybe they're out of season or whatever, you don't live in a place where they're available, so whatever fruits you do have available, you have to have an equivalent of other types of fruits. And in addition to that, it's not only about food. Vinosna mita, mapats, machselas, you have to make sure that she has a bed and that she has a mattress and she has sheets. Vinosna kipa larosha, make sure she has a scarf for her head. Vachagra, meaning it doesn't say what level sheitel you have to, but make sure that she has a scarf to put on her head. Vachagra lamasneha, and you have to make sure that she has a belt that she could wear. And that you get her new shoes every single yantav for all the Sholosh Regalim. The Gemara is going to discuss who needs new shoes every Sholosh Regalim. You know, Pesach Shavuos are only 7 weeks apart from each other. What does she need new shoes? So the Gemara is going to talk about that. But you give her shoes for each of the Yom Tovim. V'kelim shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana, 50 zuz worth of clothing each year. Ve'in nosen lalo chadashim b'mos hachamim v'lo shchakim b'mos hagshamim. You don't give her any new clothing in summertime or old clothing in the wintertime. You give her brand new clothing when it's about to be winter time. And over the course of the winter, will slowly get worn out. And by the time summertime comes, it will be lighter clothing, and that will be perfect for her for the summertime. And whatever is remained of after whatever remains of those clothing at the end of the summer, when it's really worn out, she gets to keep it. She doesn't have to return it at the end of the summer. And in addition to that, each and every week, he needs to give her some spending money. So he gives her ma'a kesef for whatever her other minor needs might be. And she eats with him every Friday night. So Gemara is going to have a machlokas what the Mishnah means. Does that mean ochelisimo kipshuto, or is that just a lashonaki of Tashma Shamita? So meaning it's describing the zman ona of onas tamachachos mayor of Shabbos of Shabbos. So we'll see that in the Gemara. V'im ein nosin la ma'a kesef letzarka. And if he ends up not giving her the ma'akesef of spending money, then she gets to keep her ma'isi yodayim. So the Rishonim will point out, it doesn't mean he has that option. He can't say, oh, I'm going to choose not to give her the ma'akesef. It's just that if in reality he didn't give her the ma'akesef, then she gets to keep the ma'isi yodayim. Umahi osalo. So that's all his responsibilities. What are her responsibilities as far as ma'isi yodayim? What she's supposed to produce? So Mishkal Chamish Shlam Shsi B'Yehuda, 5 slum weight of shasi strings in Yehuda, sheneser slum begalil, which would be measured as 10 slum in Galil, where they have different metric system, o mishkal eser slum erev be Yehuda, shen esrim slum begalil, or 10 slum of the erev strings, which are thinner strings in Yehuda, which were easier strings to produce than es, or which would equate to 20 slum in Galil. Vim haisa amenika pochsin la mimaisi adahu mosif la mosamaseha. If she's nursing his child, so then we don't expect as much maisi adaim. She's busy taking care of the baby, and we give her more mizonos because she needs to feed the baby. So the ratios are going to change in terms of what we give to her and what we expect from her. And all of this is a bare minimum for the poorest people. But if it's a more mechubad family, if it's a family that has a little bit more, then the expectation is lefi kvodo, that he has to provide for her based on what the expectation of their station in life, in the socioeconomic structure is. So Mani Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah that says that the husband has to provide 2 kav of chitin for each and every week? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah v'lo Rabbi Shimon. Seems to be against both Tanoim in Maseches Erevin that discuss how much is shtei su'udos, how much food, how much wheat you need to put out, or bread you need to put out for shtei su'udos, for an Eruv Tchumin. The Kamashi wrote, what is the mazon of Eruv Tchumin? Mazon shtei su'udos kalecha vecha. 2 su'udos worth you need to use for Eruv Tchumin. So we're going to see that the way the Mishnah does the math over there, it's not going to, meaning we're assuming that you give for the, that shnei kavin of wheat is enough to last a whole week. So a whole week is 14 su'udos. So you can imagine that 2 su'udos will be 1/7 of shnei kavin of chitin, but it's not going to work out. So mazon l'chol v'lo l'shabbos. First of all, we measure by weekday meals, not by Shabbos meals. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'shabbos l'chol. That no, we measure by Shabbos meals, not by weekday meals. V'zem zemes kavin l'hakel. Both of them are trying to be makel and give a lower number. Just one holds that you eat a smaller amount of bread during the week than you do on Shabbos, because Shabbos you have a bigger suda. And the other sheet is, no, you eat less bread on Shabbos because you have 3 meals on Shabbos instead of 2. You have more other foods on Shabbos, more delicacies on Shabbos. So that's what the, so maybe Shabbos you eat less bread. Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Kikara Lakuach Bepundion, Me'arbasin Besela. The 2 sudos are a set shear of a loaf of bread that you could buy for a pundion when 4 se'in could be bought for a sela. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shtei Yodos Lakikar, 2/3 of a kikar, Mishalosh Kikaros Lakav. When 3 kikaros that could be made from are made from a single kav. So the shear of a kikar will turn out to be 1/3 of a kav. So and a kikar has 3 su'udos in it. So 1 kikar is 1/3 of a kav. 2/3 of that kikar is 2 su'udos. So from Rabbi Yochanan Shimon, it turns out that aside from the fact that they're arguing about the shear of the muslin of an eruv, they're also arguing about how big a kikar is. So the Mishnah brings other shiurim that in the measurement of a kikar, chetzia, the other halachos that relate to the shear of a kikar. Whatever your shear of a kikar is, half of that kikar is labayis hamenuga, is the amount of time that a person has to be in a house that has tzaras to himself become tameh. How do we measure the time you need to be sitting in a house that has tzaras to become tameh? The amount of time that it would take to eat half of a kikar. However big your kikar measurement is, half of that is the amount of time that it would take to eat half of that. V'chatzi chatzia livsal segvia. And if a person eats tameh food in 1/4 of a kikar of tameh food, then he's not going to be allowed to eat truma until he's tovel. V'chatzi chatzi chatzia, and 1/8 of that is the kabbal tumas ochlin, is the amount of food that that would be makabal tumas ochlin, because the shear of tumas ochlin is bekebetza, and we're assuming right now, or the Gemara seems to be assuming, that that's not only the ability of ochel to be metame other things, it's even the ability of ochel to become tame. So money, so who is our Mishnah assuming, like when it says that a husband has to provide 2 kav of wheat for his wife each and every week, and there are 14 sudos each week? So here Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah, if we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah, that a kav has 4 su'udos, timni avyon. If he's only providing 2 kav, and he's only providing 8 su'udos. V'i Rabbi Shimon, if you're assuming like Rabbi Shimon, that a kav has 9 su'udos, he's providing too much, timni srei avyon. He's providing her 18 su'udos, she only needs 14. So says one of the other Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah. Really, we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah. And we misunderstood Rabbi Yochanan ben Barokah. It does not mean that 2 su'udos are made from a chatzi kav. U'kadam Rav Chista, tzemei en shlush l'chenveni, that the chenveni takes for his troubles 1/3, that the chenveni takes 4 se'in of chitin for a sela, and one third of that is just for his tircha. So it turns out that a chatzi kav has three su'udos in it, and two of which are sold for a pundion, and one that he takes for himself. So achanami, so in our Mishnah as well, since the woman is baking the bread for herself, she's not losing out that shlish that you would have to give to the chenveni, because she's the one that's doing the baking herself. She's doing it at home. So I see tilta shadi alayu. You can add an extra third to it, to the number of sudos that you're going to get out of that amount of wheat. So it's going to be six sudos for each kav. You're giving her two kavim. So now you're giving her 12 sudos, and that's a week's worth of food. Says Gemara, no, it's not. Akati tarti srei avion. That's still only 12 sudos. She needs 14 sudos. No, but she eats with him on Leil Shabbos, so he's providing one of the meals directly. That's if you assume Achelus Imo means literally eating, but also Va'od Tzleisavion, and even so it doesn't make up for the discrepancy. It's still only going to be 13, and she's supposed to have 14. Now we have to make an adjustment, not by a third, but by half. So it's going to be 8 su'udos for a kav, and 2 kav that he's giving her is going to be 16 su'udos. So kasha adrav chista, it's a stir in Rav Chista. One place he says it's a third, and one place he says that it's a half. So lo, it depends whether you provide the guy with wood to bake the bread. But either way, it's 16, it's not 14. So come on, krabi chitko, damar abra su'udos, chayv adun lechol b'shabes. We're assuming, like the shita, that you need to have 4 su'udos on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be 16, 12 for the 6th Shesh Tzimei Masa, and 4 for Shabbos. So it's more afil teim rabbanon dal chada la archi uparchi hashadas la afil teim rabbi shimon la rabbanon dal tlas la archi uparchi rabbi chidka dal tarti la archi uparchi. It can fit every shita because you could just assume that you're providing extra su'udos to provide for the guests as well. So it's not just 14 su'udos that she needs. There are a few extras for the guests. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with the two dots at the bottom.